Good morning. It's Sunday, which means that right now I get to share the message with you that I've been really excited to share this week. I hope you're doing well. I hope that you've been finding some fun things to do within lockdown. I know that we've been doing some things out a little bit differently. So right now we are in the Kelly dining room, but just out there is our front garden. In our front garden are a couple of olive trees. And normally in this time, I am allowing those olives just to fall down and I'll sweep them away and they can just rot away there. But this year I thought I'd do something a little bit different. So went online, searched what to do with olives, and right now we're curing some. So we've got a few jars in the pantry with olives curing, and it's going to take about 6 weeks until I find out even if they taste any good, which, you know, 6 weeks is kind of exciting because hopefully by then some of you guys can taste them as well. So they definitely better taste good. But yeah, I hope you're finding some fun things to do. I know that for some of you, you're trying to clock YouTube right now, which is an impossible task. And there's some good stuff on YouTube like The Chosen, which I know you see, you know, a few of you guys are watching, and there's some absolute rubbish on there as well. But anyway, YouTube is what inspired the message that I've got today. And on YouTube, there is this content series called Wired's Autocomplete Interviews. And if you haven't seen it before, the premise is that there is a celebrity, and often that celebrity is, you know, an actor who is promoting their recent movie that's come out, and they're sitting there and they're handed these cards. And on the cards are the internet's most asked questions around these celebrities. So it's a card that's got the Google search homepage, and it might have something like, what is, and it's got the actor's name, and then these white strips. And the actor tears away the strips to reveal the question and then answers them in real time, which is a whole lot of fun. So it might be, what is, you know, actor's name, height, or birthday, or worst movie. I love those sorts of ones where they've got to talk about what they think their worst movie is. And it might be about their spouse or their kids or something to do with their life. And it's really interesting getting that insight through, I guess, the internet's most asked questions. So it got me thinking, what would Jesus answer if he had to do the Wired's Autocomplete Interview? So I went and had a look, and I'm really excited about when we get to level 3 or level 2 to be able to create some cards, and we'll go through some of the most asked questions about God and church and the Bible and things like that. But anyway, I thought I'd have a look at Jesus, and when you type in what is Jesus, and you start to see Google autocomplete it, there's some fun stuff there, like what's his last name, his middle name, his real name, Hebrew name, birthday. I mean, it even asked for Jesus's phone number. You know, a few people definitely want a direct line. I went on and looked at does Jesus, and then it came up with care. So I thought, cool, let's have a look at this. Does Jesus care about? And I was kind of anticipating all those questions you get, you know, the ones when someone finds out you're a Christian or a follower of Jesus and they want to know the standpoint, maybe it's on a social issue or whether something's right or wrong or who's in or who's out. But I didn't see those, except for tattoos. Obviously, there's a bunch of people worried about getting their next tattoo. But anyway, I typed in, does Jesus care about? And it's all around the same theme. It's, does Jesus care about me? Does Jesus care about my life? Does Jesus care about us? And I thought for a moment, and you know, if we're all honest with ourselves, we've all asked that question at some point. You know, whether you have been to church or you haven't been to church, whether you've never opened up a Bible or you have opened up the Bible, whether you've never prayed or you've prayed, I think all of us have asked that question at some point, and especially if you have an awareness of God. And I think, you know, that question is even more relevant in a time like right now where you're locked down, you know, you're thinking about your business that you run and clients and people you've got to pay. Maybe you're thinking about that job that you've got. Maybe you're struggling right now, and there's those kind of questions about, does Jesus care about me, about my life, about us? You've heard the stories, you've listened to the sermons, you've seen God move miracles in other people's lives. Maybe you've even experienced God in your own life in the past, but right now you're sitting there and you're thinking, I know God's able, but is he willing? Does Jesus care about me? And it got me thinking about a passage in the Bible that's one of my favorite encounters with Jesus. And I've been wanting to talk about this encounter for some time. But it's funny how lockdown gives you a whole new perspective. And it's given me a new lens on this passage and on this encounter with Jesus. And it's only four verses. But the implication of these four verses is so big. It would have been not only huge for their time and their society, what just took place here, but it has huge implications for us. And before we dive in, I just want to pray. God, I want to thank you that you are good, that you are loving. God, that you are faithful. And Lord, I want to thank you for this moment that we get to share together right now. And Lord, I pray that in this moment that you would make your presence felt, but more than that, God, that you would speak to us through these words, that within us, Lord, that you would unlock freedom, that you would unlock a sense of hope and faith for us today, God, from this encounter that happened with you. In Jesus' name. So the passage we're going to read from this morning is in Matthew chapter 8. And the beauty of these videos is that you're going to see the scripture pop up on the screen. But before we dive in, just a little bit of context. Jesus has just finished what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he has been up on a mountainside, and he's got his disciples and his followers there. And he's been talking about, what does the kingdom of heaven look like? What does it look like to live the way that God has intended us to live? And he's made a few famous statements. You know, one of those, I've not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. He's gone and talked about some of those famous commandments like do not murder, but he's saying that's not enough. Like, I mean, the average person listening is not going to go out and murder someone, but we've got to keep our anger in check. You know, it's about the heart. It's not about that ultimate terrible action. I mean, he's talking about don't commit adultery, but he said that's not enough. Don't look at a woman lustfully. Don't objectify somebody, you know. We're not objects, we're humans. He goes on to talk about don't live in a way that it's all about an eye for an eye and I've always got to get even, and don't just only love those who are good to you, but love those who, you know, might even be like an enemy to you, and be generous, but don't turn it into a pompous act where it's on show. He says, you know, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Just make it a part of your life. Prayer. Don't turn that into a pompous show to try and prove how good you are. But, you know, God loves it even when you just turn up in your room and it's simple and you pray to him. And he talks about not worrying and being careful about judging, because you probably got stuff you got to sort out in your own life too, and what it is to seek him. And he's preaching this famous message, and he's finished it, and he's now walking down the hill. And down the mountainside. And that's where we kick in verse 1. It says this: when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Like, he's getting a following right now. He's already done a few miracles. People are wanting to check this Jesus guy out. And it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let's pause here. So picture it. There's a large crowd, and Jesus is probably near the front, and there's this guy with leprosy. And when it says leprosy, it's a word here used for many different types of contagious skin diseases. And he is braving it. He shouldn't even be here. By law, this guy should be in isolation. He's an outcast. If he is even going to come near somebody, he's got to call out unclean, unclean, so people know and they don't become unclean by being around him. I mean, imagine going to the supermarket right now in lockdown we're already trying to keep 2 meters apart. These guys are probably shoulder to shoulder. And some guy comes in calling out, I've got COVID-19 or coronavirus. What would you do? You would scamper. You would be angry. You would be frustrated. What is this guy doing here? And he has pushed through the crowd and he comes to Jesus and he kneels before him. He's desperate. He's brave. He's filled with faith. He's heard the stories before. He knows Jesus is able. But his question is, are you willing? Can you make me clean? And it says in verse 3, Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches the man. I love what it says in Mark 1:41, talking about the same encounter. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion. The words there are about moved inwardly, you know, a picture of being moved so deep, deep emotions. You know what that feels like, where it's so deep, it's like a punch in the gut. Jesus felt that. Do you know Jesus cares? He's moved with compassion when he sees your need. It's like, you know, a father. I'm a father. You know, when I see my kids frustrated and they're trying to do something, I'm frustrated with them. When my kids are hurt, they've hurt themselves, I feel for them. I'm moved. God is moved with your need. And not only that, he meets him where he's at. He reaches out and he touches him. And it says immediately, he is cured. Jesus, I'm willing, be clean. He is cured. And Jesus says, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. How powerful. So Jesus is not only able, but he's willing. He meets this man where he's at. He cares. And he gives him what he needs. He's not only able, but he is willing. And, you know, right now in the middle of, you know, lockdown, you're thinking about your businesses and you're thinking about those struggles. And Jesus is not only able, but he is willing. Now, we've only just scratched the surface here, and there's so much more going on here. And there's so much power here that I believe that will unlock faith and freedom in your own life. And so we're going to go below the surface here. And that's because, you know, we can hear something like this and go, yeah, Jesus cares. But inwardly, you're like, does he really care? And it's often because it's to do with ourselves and our own failures and our own inadequacies and our imperfections that we've kind of distanced ourselves from God and enabling God to move in us. And that is what I think is so powerful about this passage. You see, the author assumes that the audience, who would have been first century Jews, completely understand all about Mosaic law and a whole lot to do with their culture that is going on here that we might completely miss. I mean, it's 4 verses. We've probably powered through this and we're right into the next encounter with the centurion with faith, and we spend time there and we're like, this is awesome. But let's take a moment. Trust me, we're just going to take a moment. Listen to this because it's so powerful. Underneath the surface is a complete iceberg. And it's to do with this whole concept of clean versus unclean. And in here, you know, the man came to Jesus and he says, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I'm willing to be clean. There's a perfectly good word for heal me in either Hebrew or Aramaic, which many of them spoke, or in Greek, which this was written in. In fact, many of the encounters with Jesus, they're talking about heal me or be healed. But here he's talking about make me clean. Now, the concept of clean versus unclean was woven into Jewish culture then. And it all had to do with this thought that God is holy. God is unique. God is set apart. God is pure. God represents life. And therefore, anything associated with God needed to be holy, needed to be set apart, needed to be unique, pure. that meant anything to do with worshiping him, anything to do with the place that represented his presence on earth, the temple. So they would do anything to ensure that that was kept unique and that was kept holy and clean, not unclean, not instead of pure, impure. And I heard a guy named Tim Mackey shared it really, really well. He talked about that idea of the worship and temple almost being like a operating theater. So an operating theater is a unique place that is set apart. It has a specific purpose. It's all about protecting life. It's all about creating quality of life. And some of you guys have been in an operating theater and some of us haven't, but it is protected for that specific purpose. So there are a whole lot of rituals around washing hands and keeping clean. You've got to wear the right clothes and the right people are involved, and that place is protected for that purpose. And so within their culture, there are all sorts of things that might make you unclean, and it wasn't necessarily sin. It was just part of life. But they had a whole lot of rituals around how do I become clean again so that I wouldn't taint that worship or that place of worship that represented God who is holy. And one of those things that we find in Leviticus, I know you know your favorite book of the Bible, is around skin conditions. And so if you had a skin condition, you had to go to a priest and you were unclean and you had to do certain things and come back. And when you were cleaned of that, you performed a ritual and then you were able to worship again and you're able to be part of society again. But unfortunately, if you had a contagious skin disease like leprosy, staying away and coming back weren't going to do anything. This was something that at the time was incurable. So it was the worst thing that could happen to you. You would have to be isolated from society and isolated from worship, and therefore the idea of isolated from God. And it got me thinking about, you know, have you ever failed in your own life? I mean, silly question, we've all failed. Have you ever made a mistake or screwed up again and again and again? And what happens in those moments is, you know, we think about, you know, you failed again, and you get this idea that God must be ashamed of you and I can't come before God, and you begin to avoid God. Or maybe, you know, you've failed in with a relationship and just you think, man, this person's going to be ashamed of me, and so you avoid them and the downward spiral begins. You know, you kind of get that sense of what it is to feel like you're unclean, that you're full of mistakes and to isolate yourself from God and from others. Yet God isn't threatened by that. And that's what was powerful about this story, was Jesus wasn't threatened by the fact that he was unclean. Instead, Jesus, as this man humbled himself and came before him, met him where he was at, he reached out. His holiness was far bigger than that. You know, it's like light and darkness. Wherever light is, darkness can't be. God reached out into that moment as this man humbled himself. Not only was he able, but he was willing. And this was powerful. You know, this guy couldn't make God unholy. In fact, God's holiness reached out and made this man clean. What a powerful moment. And it's even more than that. You know, we look at this and we see that Jesus says to him, you know, go to the priest and do what you need to do. That's stated in Leviticus, and it's going to be a testimony to them. Now, Jesus not only cared about this man being restored, but he wanted him integrated back into society, and that was the way to do it, to go see a priest. They commanded you clean again and you could go back into society, but it was more than that. So, fun fact, ever since the Mosaic Law was completed, there was no record in Jewish history until this point of a Jewish man being healed of leprosy. Now, there's a miracle that you'll find in 2 Kings where a non-Jewish military commander comes to the prophet Elisha and he is healed. But there's no record of a Jewish person being healed. So therefore, there was a tradition amongst the teachers of the law that only the Messiah could heal a leper. And this would have been a statement to them that as they've seen this Jewish man heal leprosy, that who did this? This must be the Messiah. And, you know, that is why it says in Luke when, you know, John the Baptist's followers came to Jesus and they said, are you the one or should we be waiting for someone else? Jesus specifically calls out, aren't the lepers being healed? This is why that you'll see in Luke when it goes on after this encounter that you see Pharisees and teachers of the law from all over Galilee and Judea and even Jerusalem, the capital, are coming to see him. They want to hear what he's teaching. They want to see him for themselves. Jesus was making a statement that he is the one, that he is not only the Messiah, but he is God, that he is not only able, that he is willing, that he cares, that his presence and his power and his love isn't confined to just a place, but will meet you wherever you are, if only you humble yourself and come to him. You know, right now, if you are struggling, thinking about your business right now, and you're like, God, I know you're able, but I need you. Are you willing? Jesus is able and willing. You know, right now, if you're struggling, maybe you're thinking about how am I going to make ends meet? Maybe you've got needs. Maybe you're just trying to deal with kids bouncing off the walls right now in lockdown. And you just need divine help. And you're just like, Jesus, I know you're able. Are you willing? Jesus cares. He is able and willing. Maybe you are faced with an impossibility this morning, like a man with leprosy. And you're like, Jesus, I know you're able, but are you willing? Jesus is able and willing. Right now, you might be feeling inadequate. You might be feeling a failure. You might look at yourself in the mirror and you see it written all over you. I know Jesus is able, but is he willing? Jesus is able and willing. He's willing to come and wipe that slate clean, that when you look at yourself, you are no longer held back by those thoughts about yourself, but you can move forward. You can move forward in God. You don't have to isolate. You don't have to hide anymore. You can experience God. And right now in this moment, I want to pray. And maybe you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you have once and you've walked away from that. And this morning, you just want to come to him and just surrender. Just pray this after me. God, I want to thank you for who you are. Lord, I want to thank you for the cross that made a way for me, that I could be forgiven of sin, that I could be set free. And Lord, I choose to follow you. Lord, I choose to surrender. I choose to accept this grace. Maybe this morning you're struggling with, you know, you're anxious about your business, or you're anxious about making ends meet, or whatever that challenge is. Why don't you place your hand on your heart this morning, and I'm going to pray with you. Lord, I just want to join faith with these people this morning. God, I want to join faith, and I thank you that not only are you able, but you are willing. And God, I pray that you would not only make your presence felt, but Lord, I pray that you would move in that situation. Lord, I want to thank you that not only do you care about their needs, but you are the great shepherd who journeys with us through our challenges and leads us by still waters, leads us to pastures. You lead us to what we need, God. And I pray that God, that you would step in the name of Jesus. You know, if what you're facing right now is an impossibility, Lord, I thank you that nothing is impossible for you. God, I pray that you would prove yourself not only able, but willing. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We pray that you would activate something in your life and shift your life towards Jesus. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, just click follow. We love you. Have a blessed week.